I'd like to begin this evening in the third chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, and beginning with the seventh verse. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Message I feel like the Lord has given for tonight is, harden not your hearts. He says here, today, if you will hear my voice. Because that's all that we're given. That's all that we're guaranteed is what we have right now. Now is the day of salvation. This is the appointed time. While many hold for the promise of time in the future, like we heard last night, for the hope of opportunity or a more convenient season later on, we're of course not promised or guaranteed that. Today is our day. Today's the time to do business with the Lord and with our souls. He said, while it is called today, exhort one another, he said, daily. And he talks about a deceitfulness of sin that can harden our hearts. He speaks here of the time of the children of Israel. Whenever they hardened their hearts, when the Lord called them out of the land of Egypt and he led them through the wilderness, they soon forgot his works. They lost it from their minds. Now, how does that work? I would assume that they could still recall it. I suspect that they could still, if they were questioned, tell you how the Lord brought them out of Egypt. But there was something that had happened from the day that they were brought over the Red Sea to the time that they began murmuring in the wilderness. And it happened on more than one occasion. They began to murmur for water in the wilderness, and fearing that they had been brought out there for the purpose of dying in the wilderness, they began to murmur and complain for food, for bread. And later on, they began to murmur about the bread and began to complain and want flesh to eat. They began to cry for a God that they could see and touch with their hands, see with their eyes. All of these things, he said, it's the day of provocation. And there were times when the Lord told Moses, Moses, stand back here. Because, in other words, the cup of my wrath is full against them. They've provoked me far enough now. And Moses interceded with them. Lord, please, have mercy on them. But it was the day of provocation, of a wrestling with the Lord. You remember what Jesus said unto Saul whenever he arrested him on the road and shone a bright light about him. He said, Saul, isn't it hard to kick against the pricks? You've been fighting against me and my dealings in your life. You know there's a consequence to that. Every one of us again are given today without the promise of tomorrow. But the Lord wants to talk to us today. This is the day of salvation. This is the day in which the Lord wants to visit our souls and talk to us. And I'm so thankful that the Lord is still in the business of talking to souls. God, I believe this book opens, God, who has sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's speaking. How long has it been since you've heard the Lord's voice? You know, the Lord spoke to the children of Israel. And most often he spoke to them through his servant. There came a time when some said, "Who do you think you are? We hear your words," and they had brought the words that they heard down to the level that they just equated it with Moses. "We know this man, we know who he is, it's something common here." But it wasn't the words of Moses that they strove with, it was the words of God. The Lord who is speaking today speaks to our hearts, or endeavors to do so. Whenever the Lord speaks to us, he said that his word will not return unto him void. He said that in many different ways the Lord spake in times past. You know, the Lord knows how to speak through the sunrise. You know, the Lord knows how to speak through the death of loved ones. The Lord knows how to speak through the tragedy that befalls a community or a nation. The Lord knows how to speak in the still of the night. The Lord knows how to speak through the most unsuspecting vessels. The Lord knows how to speak through his word to our hearts. The Lord knows your name tonight, and he knows mine. And more than that, he knows everything that makes us up. Whenever the Lord comes and he speaks to us, we don't leave the same person. We've got to do something with that voice. Will I strive with it? Will I deny it? Will I reason with it and dismiss it maybe as just being the voice of some man? Or will I take heed unto it? There is a deceptiveness of sin that can harden the heart. We've heard the phrase "gospel hardened." Haven't heard it maybe for a while. Someone that is gospel hardened, that can sit under the sound of the gospel and maybe their lives full of sin and they know it, and yet they resist the call of the gospel and the dealings of the Lord on their heart to the point that they've hardened their heart and they don't feel anything anymore. You know that day, and that danger is real. The danger is very real. You know, it's not just to the hardened sinner that's way out there. There is a deceptiveness of sin. There is a place that the enemy would like to get us into where our hearts are past feeling, where they're not sensitive to the dealings and the voice of the Lord anymore. John, the 12th chapter. You ever wonder sometimes, "Lord, what will it take? What will it take for my loved ones to be awakened? What will it take those blinded by sin to wake up?" I fully believe that if the veil between us and eternity were pulled back, we'd be talking an entirely different story. There'd be no question. You know, we wouldn't have to sing 12 altar call songs. And I'm not criticizing singing 12 altar call songs if that's how the Spirit moves. But I want us to be aware tonight of a danger of becoming desensitized to the dealings of the Lord. I don't believe that it should have to take the coaxing, the prodding of man to try to get me to move. Whenever the Lord speaks, do I hear His voice? What do I do with it? The 12th chapter of John, I want to look at a little bit of Jesus' own ministry. He said in the 36th verse, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and hid Himself from them. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him." How does that happen? If you see a miracle performed, doesn't that get your attention? But it says here that though Jesus had done many miracles, they still didn't believe on Him because they had hardened their hearts. Whenever they saw the miracles, whenever they heard the words, there was something lost in translation from the eyes and the ears to the heart. It's why Jesus said, "You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. You have eyes to see, but you don't see," in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And so it was that the God's own people didn't see their day of visitation. They didn't realize that it passed them right by. Though Jesus said, "How often I wanted to gather you as a hen doth her chicks." Though He had done miracles, they still didn't believe. You remember what happened to the rich man at whose gate Lazarus was laid. Whenever he went to hell and he lifted up his eyes, and if you'll recall that discussion that took place, pleading for a drop of water that was not possible, his final plea was this: "I've got 5 brothers back there. I don't want them to come to this place of torment like I have. If you'll let me go back to them and tell them what I've experienced here, then they'll believe and they'll avoid this place." No, they won't. Though Jesus Himself did many miracles right before them, they didn't believe because it has to do with the condition of the heart. It has to do with the decisions that someone makes whenever they first feel that prick of the heart. What do I do with this? Whenever they were cut to the heart, do I go and inquire of Jesus? I want to learn more. There's something that, I don't know how to explain it. There's something here that it feels like You're talking right to me. Do I take that course or do I say, "We know this man's a sinner"? And it'll have an effect on the condition of the heart and the way you see things and the way you hear things. I said, no, they have the law and they have the prophets, just like you did. In other words, that's enough. That is enough for anybody to be able to make the right decision. I believe that the Lord is merciful, that the grace of God that brings salvation appears unto all mankind. But the decision is ours, what we do with those dealings and with that voice. Scripture talks about in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, those that are past feeling. You ever burn yourself to the point that it doesn't hurt anymore? You know, you can get past feeling. Nerves can seem like a terrible thing, but really, they're part of God's plan for the body. You know, the conscience can seem to those whose heart is being hardened a terrible thing. But a conscience resisted will trouble no more. A conscience and the feeling of those pricks pushed off long enough, I'll cease to feel. Remember, and I've told the story before of some Great Pyrenees dogs we had, very gentle dogs and very stubborn dogs. And put some collars on them and for an underground fence and tried to train them to it, using all the methods that we knew of to try to train them to it, and they did great while we were out in the yard. But then we had to go inside the house, and the neighbor's ducks were just too much for a Great Pyrenees to resist. And they'd start out, and it was hitting them. They were feeling it. But there was something on the other side that was worth pressing through it. And so they kept going, and over the fence they went, and the further they went, they got to the point that no longer did the shock touch them anymore. They were out of range of it. Oh, be careful, soul, what you do with the dealings of the Lord. Be careful what you do with the pricks. Be careful what you do with that still small voice that you hear in your heart. Be careful what you do with it. Be careful about turning against it. Be careful of pushing it off and reasoning in your mind that, well, some other time. I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think that's necessary. For we can press beyond it to the point that we feel no longer. And do you realize tonight that's really the most dangerous place that we could be in? That I no longer feel. That I'm no longer touched and affected by the dealings of the Lord. Paul said it, I believe, this way. That they've seared their conscience with a hot iron. By the decisions that they made, they've seared it. This process generally takes a period of time to sear the conscience. But it'll sting a little bit less and a little bit less every time that we resist. Believe the song number 418, the third verse maybe, it talks about how God's dealings. Somebody, maybe you can read that. I don't have a book on me. 418, verse 3. While you are sliding God's mercy, there's something happening inside of you. Harder and harder you grow. The consequence of it, I'm choosing something down in the darkness. Thus, oh, how foolish. How foolish to spurn the Lord's dealings. But I choose that whenever I turn from the dealings of the Lord. Harden not your hearts. Proverbs, the 29th chapter. The first verse says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. We have in our house a grandfather clock. People that come and stay with us sometimes request that we switch the chime off. You know, I don't hear it when I sleep. But I did it first. I suppose about every hour when we first got it, I woke up and knew what time it was, and it didn't do me any good. But the time came that I became desensitized to it. Well, the same thing can happen really with any of our senses. We can become desensitized to smell, to sounds. People that live right next to the railroad tracks, you go and visit them in their house, and you might stop talking when it goes by, and it really catches your attention. But the ones that live there get to where they don't even notice it anymore. It no longer gets their attention. Well, their senses are still receiving those signals. But there's something between that and what's processing it that's no longer telling me I need to do something. And I believe it's the way that happens with our spiritual senses. That we can hear the sound, but something is lost inside. Lost in translation. He that being often reproved. I've heard it over and over again. Well, there's a remedy for being often reproved. And it's what a godly parent desires for their child. You know what? I don't want to chastise you. I don't want to go through this over and over again. And as soon as we can impart to children, there's a link between your actions and the consequence of it here. You're the one making the decision here. You don't have to go through this same punishment over and over again. So there is a remedy to being often reproved. But this is talking about a heart that doesn't want to hear the reproof. And so it happens again. You know, people go through life that way. You know, it's the Lord in His mercy many times that puts some stumbling blocks in people's way. I'm trying to get your attention here. I'm trying to wake you up here. I'm trying to slow you down a little bit to cause you to reason and think and to slow down long enough that I can try to get through to you. But he that being often reproved just keeps on going. There's something that happens. His neck, it says, is hardened. God spoke of the children of Israel in this manner. Ye are a stiff-necked people. You ever have a stiff neck? You can't hardly move it. They were hard to work with. They couldn't turn. They couldn't respond to the, or wouldn't, to the Lord's dealings. You're a stubborn and an obstinate people. I continue to chastise you over and over again, and you keep doing the same things over and over again. The Lord's mercy is great, but it's not endless. The time will come that if we spurn His dealings long enough, that there will be a consequence to my heart, that I'll begin to be desensitized to His dealings. And He said, shall suddenly be destroyed. There's a contrast between what's been leading up to this, which is a gradual process. Over a period of over and over again, you've been dealt with and dealt with and dealt with. And you go on as if life will just always keep going like this. Something happens suddenly and you're destroyed, and that without remedy. Because the Lord tried to stop you before you got to that point. There's something of this seen so much in our world today. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, talks about the last times. 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter 3, in the 3rd verse, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Folks, this has to do with our will. It has to do with what I choose to do with the Word of God that He sends my way. They're willingly ignorant of this, that the Word of God, by the Word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was overturned with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Noah was a preacher of righteousness for a long time. Do you think there was more of an effect in his preaching at first? I can't say definitively, but just by human nature, chances are people were listening to him at first. You know, that's a strange saying. What would that be? But whenever you've heard a message year after year after year after year, and you've chosen not to do anything with it, the result is a hardness of the heart, a deceptiveness of sin. I've wondered before, how could they have seen, after all those warnings, and now that the ark is complete, something's reaching a climax here. Either this man's going to be proven wrong, or we're going to be proven wrong. And whenever they saw this procession of animals start going up into the ark, not herded by any man, of their own volition going up into the ark, wouldn't that get your attention? Wouldn't that cause you to stop and say, wait a minute. Maybe there is something to what he's saying here. But by that time, their hearts were hardened. People say, show me a sign. And people say, if there were more miracles today, and people say, if there were more healings among us today, more people would believe. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord's not saying, I have shown you so much. I have done so much before you. What more do you want? We've piped and you haven't danced. We've mourned and you haven't lamented. We've tried in every way I know to get this to you. You've seen it in the lives of those that have gone before you. You've heard it with your own ears over and over. What more will I have to do for you? Harden not your heart. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. You know what happens then? Their hearts become fully set in them to do evil. The die becomes cast in the way that they were first just kind of exploring. Their heart becomes set in that way. And as the end of time approaches, I believe it's one of the perils of the latter times, is that people won't be moved by the signs that are shown around them, and perhaps even by the Word of God. And I want us to realize tonight again, this isn't just about the sinner that's been out in sin for years. You know where it starts? It starts right here. Many that I'm looking at, myself included, couldn't count the number of camp meetings we've been to. The number of messages we've heard. You pick the subject. You ever find yourself, well, I'll just say I find myself sometimes, singing a song that we've sung so many times, I'm singing it by memory and not even thinking about what I'm singing. Or read a scripture and I've read it, it's so familiar to me that if I'm not careful, I'm just reading through the words. You know, there's a danger even for the churched. There's a danger for the children of the saints and for all of us who have grown up, thank the Lord, coming to environments like this, that we can become gospel hardened ourselves, that we can become desensitized. Hardening your heart sounds like that's kind of way out there. But it can start right in here. That I start becoming a little more desensitized. That what used to really move me just becomes commonplace to me. That it doesn't have the same effect. Because the words that we hear bind with them an obligation upon us. What will I do with it? We heard already reference to James' writings of the man that is a hearer of the Word. He hears it. It's good to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, but it's not enough to hear it. We've got to do it as well. I remember as a child being in the Guthrie Chapel on the west side of town. And floods over and over again. The Cottonwood River there would back up, and often it would happen after there had been some rains and the ground had become saturated. And all it would take is another, just one more rain. And the water then is just rolling off the surface and collecting in the lowest spot, which was where our chapel was. You know, we can become a little bit like that. We can become kind of compacted. Jesus talked about the seed that was sown, remember, and some of it fell by the wayside. That's a place that I think of. It's a well-traveled road. The dirt's probably pretty packed down. It's not very easy for the seed to get in there and really start to take root. I believe the danger for us. And I hope you understand. Don't go take a break from camp meetings for 3 years. But I think the danger is, if I start going through the motions, and I hear the word over and over, and yet I don't seek the Lord earnestly to put it into practice in my own life, the effect of that is I start getting saturated. Believe Jesus said in Mark, the 4th chapter, something about our hearing. Fourth chapter of Mark in the 23rd verse. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. When he's saying here, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's not about just receiving the sound waves into your ears. Having ears to hear is assimilating it into my life. And he that has those ears to hear, unto him shall more be given. Whenever the rain falls, that ground has already accepted that water. It's not just sitting on the surface. You understand what I mean? Whenever we hear the messages over and over again, but we aren't diligent about putting it into practice, being doers of the things that I hear, then I start to get saturated. And the soil starts to get packed down where it's not able to take anymore. I'd like to look in the 6th chapter here of Mark. Mark the 6th chapter in the 51st verse. Now this was whenever disciples were rowing through the night. The winds were contrary to them, and Jesus came walking on the water. They supposed it was a spirit, and they cried out. Jesus spoke to them, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was hardened. We're not talking here about Legion. We're talking about the disciples. They had just come from this place, this setting, where the Lord had fed the multitude by a great miracle. Wouldn't that be amazing to witness? Wouldn't you think that when you leave there, you'd say, God can do anything? I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that's too hard for God. There's nothing that's out of His reach and too difficult. And when the storm comes up then, you know what? All we have to do, brothers, let's call out to the Lord. But I can say that not having been in the boat. How many times in my life do I forget what the Lord did for me last month, last year? Again, this idea of our hearts being hardened is not just, Lord, I'm not going to follow you. I don't care what you have to say. Lord, help me that my heart would be tuned to the Lord's voice. Lord, help me to be able to not be as the book of Hebrews says, you're dull of hearing. It's hard for you to, you're like someone who's sluggish and half asleep. Their response time is so slow They don't hardly know what's going on around them. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing in my life. What you're doing right around. While I look for the signs and the miracles, sometimes I miss what the Lord is doing right before me. What the Lord is wanting to remind me of. I believe it's the 8th chapter. In the 17th verse, he said, when they were asking about the bread, he said, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? Do ye not remember? You know, I believe tonight, wherever you are, the Lord wants to come along and say, do you remember? Do you not remember what I've done for you? I've found in my own experience times where I've started to get desensitized to the dealings of the Lord. And you know, it's the Lord in His mercy that allows us to see, Lord, I'm just not moved like I was. Lord, I'm not touched. And it's not about sustaining an emotion. It's about being sensitive to the dealings of the Lord. I wrestled a little with the Lord saying, Lord, what do I give as the answer? You know, there are some messages that are hard to receive. The message to the hypocrite is a hard one for the hypocrite to hear. The message to the proud of heart is hard for the proud of heart to hear. And a message to the hardened of heart is hard for the hardened of heart to hear. Ezekiel was warned. He said, you're going to go, I'm going to send you with a message. And you're going to go to the people, and I want you to preach the message. That's your job. You preach the message, but I'm going to warn you, Ezekiel. You're going to go, and the people are going to come, and they're going to gather together. And they're going to hear you, and you're going to be unto them as a lovely song. They'll enjoy it. But they're going to go their way and not do anything about it. The scripture says in Hosea, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord until He rain righteousness upon you. Whenever we recognize, Lord, I've started becoming desensitized. You know, it's about more than something emotional. It's about an understanding and a realization. Lord, something started to happen. And I'm not just going to wait for a wave of emotion. But Lord, I need something restored. Lord, there's some calluses that have started to build up in my heart. You know, we can seek the Lord. The message of John the Baptist, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Even to the hardened sinner that can sit through a gospel message and through an altar call and not be fazed. You know, when I realize I'm not touched by this. You know, I can come and seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be sensitive to your voice. I want to be able to feel and hear your dealings. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the mercy of the Lord is beyond comprehension. When we recognize something in ourselves that has started to become calloused or hardened and not real sensitive to the Lord's dealings, to the word of the Lord. You know, I believe the Lord knows how to take calluses off. He said to Job, or Job said, his own testimony, the Lord maketh my heart soft. But I think if you look at the context of that, the way he did that was through some adversity. The Lord knows how to make our heart soft. If we recognize that our heart is starting to become hardened, folks, don't continue down the path. Don't continue down that path because it'll just become harder and harder. And a young person, I haven't picked on any of you yet, a young person who has learned to resist the call of the Lord in altar call, thinking later, after a while, I'll come back. I'll come back to this place. Any of you heard that before? I'm not going that far. I'll be back. And they go so much further than they ever thought. And then when they're in trouble, you say, it's easy, come back. But something's happened. They don't feel the same way that they felt when they were sitting under the conviction of the Spirit. They don't feel it. Their desires aren't the same anymore. What compels them isn't the same anymore. They're not of a mind anymore. They've become hardened against the dealings of the Lord. Folks, I don't want to see anybody here destroyed. I don't want to be destroyed. Lord, help us that we harden not our hearts. You pray for me. Amen.